Banner, physician, scientist, searching for a way to tap into the hidden strengths that all humans have. Then an accidental overdose of gamma radiation alters his body chemistry. And now when David Banner grows angry or outraged, a startling metamorphosis occurs. Creature is driven by rage and pursued by an investigative reporter.
Mr. McGee, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
The creature is wanted for a murder he didn't commit. David Banner is believed to be dead. And he must let the world think that he is dead until he can find a way to control the raging spirit that dwells within him.
Hello, and welcome to FW Presents, the anthology show for the Fire and Water Podcast Network. This is another episode of Find Your Joy. I am one of your hosts, Rob Kelly, and joining me for this episode is the creator of the Find Your Joy show here on the Fire and Water Network, Ryan Daly. Hi, Ryan.
Until I came up with that phrase, no one had ever uttered those words before in that order.
It was very funny to me because I don't know. I mean, I can't speak for the other guys, but like, did you tell any of us that you were doing that? Which all of a sudden it just showed up in my feed one day. I was like, oh,
no,
okay.
No, and the thing was, like, peeking behind the curtain, and a lot of you guys already, I'm sure we've mentioned it, but we do have like a Fire and Water Network like group message chat that we kind of like throw ideas back and forth and kind of like plan out future events. And yeah, this was something that I was like, you know what? I really want to talk about this issue of Fantastic Four. And there are a couple of other just random issues. I don't want to start new podcasts for all of these things. They're just going to be, you right, know, yeah. They're just going to fall under the general like FW Presents thing. It's like, but I could make like a sub series that it's all about just embracing comics that we love. And it was partly inspired by like a Twitter thing that went out, like the hashtag for influential comics or something like that. Or and partly based on a previous episode that you and Shag did talking about that type of thing, like seven for your seventh anniversary.
Oh, right.
So it was all just about like thinking about comics that we love or comics that had an impact on us. And I had this whole thing and I was going to tell you guys, I was gonna like mention it. I was like, hey, this is something I want to do. Feel free to jump in with anything you guys are passionate about, comics, movies, video games, whatever you find your joy in, and this will be a thing. And I just like everything was so busy, I just forgot to tell you guys that I was doing that. But yeah, within like a bit, like as soon as like that episode drops, within a few hours, you're like, oh, I want to do something like that. Nathaniel goes, hey, I've got an idea for something like that. I'm like, cool, this is exactly what I wanted. I just, yeah.
Yeah, I got up early in the morning and I opened my phone and then because we haven't posted anything on Mondays in a while. And then all of a sudden I was like, wait, what is this? I was like, okay, cool. And I have to say, I really enjoyed the show. I've listened to it twice now and I very rarely listen to podcasts more than once. But it was highly, highly enjoyable. And so I wanted to jump into the pool hip deep for this one because we're here to talk about The Incredible Hulk, number 261. And I'll get into the reasons why I want to talk about this. Before we get to this comic in question, we want to thank our sponsor, which is InStockTrades.com. This episode of FW Presents Find Your Joy is sponsored in part by InStockTrades.com. InStockTrades is your best online source for trades, hardcovers, and other collected editions, all for up to 45% off with free shipping for orders of $50 or more. Ryan, what do you got?
I have, because of the subject matter and the artist on this particular book, I have Sal Buscema, Comics Fast and Furious Artist. This is a book published by Tomorrow's Publishing. And it's basically just an in-depth look and retrospective of the art of Sal Buscema. And right there on the cover is the Hulk battling the Abomination. It's really cool looking. I actually went to the Tomorrow's website. They give you a nice little preview of it. You can like flip through it and see what's in it. And I don't have this book, but it definitely looks pretty good. And I might actually have to dig in and get it. But the write-up on InStock Trade says, in 1968, Sal Buscema joined Marvel Comics and quickly became one of their most dependable artists. Sal came into his own, penciling some of Marvel's biggest missed storylines. He also had a 10-year run on the Hulk and drew 100 consecutive issues of Spectacular Spider-Man. The life and career of this legend of the comics industry is explored through an exhaustive interview with the artist, complete with samples of his artwork, available in hardcover and softcover editions. I'm looking right now at the softcover edition. The normal retail price is $26.95. You can find it on in-stock trades for a 40% discount, which is $16.17. It looks really, really cool. I recommend it.
Very cool. Did any artist draw a more recognizable punch than Sabusema? I mean, other artists have done other things better, but I don't know anybody whose punch is more distinctive in comics. You just know the body being flipped backwards, upside down. You're like, that's Sabusema.
Gil Kane had a pretty distinctive punch. You'd never confuse the two. But I think maybe those two had. But yeah, I certainly, like, anytime I post a picture, I can usually count on Greg Arujo or somebody between Sabushima punch, Sabushima punch.
Exactly. If they're getting hit crotch first, it's Sabushima. That looks like a really cool book because, yeah, he's one of those, like, super underrated guys. And now when you look back at the career and you go, my God, this guy drew 10,000 pages of comics, all of it really good. So that sounds like a really cool pick. Very good. My pick is The Incredible Hulk, Heart of the Atom. The Hulk can find enemies anywhere, even on a submolecular level. Love long eluded him until his atom-shattering romance with Jarella. Remember Jarella? They got to get her into the movies. The tiniest of worlds offered him all that he ever desired. But when the Hulk fights his way through obstacles in both Earth and Ka'ai, what will be left waiting for him? Collecting Incredible Hulk numbers 140, 148, 156, 202, 203, 205, 207, at 246 and 248, and What If? Number 23, written by various writers, drawn by Herb Trimpe and Sabusema. Cover artist is Dave Cockrum. 240 pages. In-stock trades price $24.99. In-stock trades price $14.49. That's 42% off. I remember this storyline growing up, him going to the subatomic world and Jarella and all that stuff. So I had no idea this was all collected into one book. So this looks really cool, too. I'm very excited about this.
Yeah, I just remember the title of the particular issue, The Brute Who Shouted Love at the Heart of the Atom. Typical Harlan Ellison title.
That is fantastic.
And you know, something else that you've kind of talked about, and I love this idea, and I've pitched it a couple of times on the Council of Geeks videos that I'll occasionally do when I guest with Nathaniel Wayne, is like Marvel team-up movies, or like embracing some of the old Marvel anthologies, like when they had Tales to Astonish. Yes. For a long time, it was a split book between Giant Man and the Wasp and the Hulk. What if you made a Tales to Astonish movie, since you can't do an Incredible Hulk movie? Put those two characters. You can have the Hulk going into the Atom's microverse or quantum realm, whatever it is, and find the, you know, tiny little Jarella and her kingdom of, like, microscopic people. You could do that story.
I have been pitching that for the longest time. I think that would be the two Strange Tales, the movie. Tales to Astonish, the movie. Marvel team up, the movie. And you could bring in all these characters that you're not sure can carry a whole movie, but you're introducing them to the world, to people that are unfamiliar with them. That would be, oh man, I would love Moon Knight.
Yeah.
Son of Satan, you know? Do it up, man. That would be so cool. So yeah, both these books are available at InStockTrades.com. So for these and all the other trade paperback needs, visit InStockTrades.com. And we thank them for their support. All right, Ryan. So like I said, we're here to talk about Incredible Hulk number 261. It was on sale April 14th, 1981. Cover dated July 1981. 50 cents. It features a great cover by somebody relatively familiar with us, from us all, Frank Miller. Early work by Frank Miller. I mean, of course, he'd already done Spectacular Spider-Man. He was working on Daredevil. But he was still doing cover work at this point. And so this is him. You see the Hulk in the front. And in the back, looming on the Easter Island statues, is the silhouette of the Absorbing Man. What do you think of this cover?
You know, that Frank Miller guy, I think he drew one of the arcs of Sin City that I really like. And I'm trying to think of if he did anything else of note. Yeah. It's really cool. It's different. Like, his Hulk looks Frank Miller-ish, but not like it is necessarily not like any other artist who I've really ever seen draw the Hulk. Certainly not like Sal or John Buscema. But it's cool. He's up there. He's almost doing like a ready for like a kung fu type of pose. Like, I think. Mm-hmm. And then in the back, the Absorbing Man standing on the Easter Island heads. The thing that jumps out at me is the text box right underneath the title. Again, the Absorbing Man. And I want to say, like, maybe they meant it to say against the Absorbing Man, because again, the Absorbing Man just kind of strikes as, yeah, this guy again, this freaking guy. Like, the Hulk only has a few bad guys who can go toe-to-toe with him. He's fought, but it's like, yeah, he hadn't fought the Observed Man in a while. It had been, a couple of issues, but it's like, again, the Observed Man. It's like, we're just recycling the same bad guys. It's like, couldn't you have said something else?
Rhino Pardue or something like that, yeah. I really like this cover. I agree the text box is a little strange, but I love the layout. I love the stipple effect that he puts on the Easter Island statues. Yeah. I think that looks – makes them look much more foreboding than they really look. So I think it's a really, really – and it's colored beautifully. I love the sun effect behind the Absorbing Man. I think it's a really, really beautiful, beautiful effect. Nice cover. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this was one of these comics and – you know, everyone knows that I have like a if there's a comic that I like, I have a show for it, you know, but Incredible Hulk number 261 is one of those comics. It's not a Mountain comic. It's not a Treasury comic. It's not a Digest comic. It's not a Who's Who. Like, it's just a comic that I bought off the stands at the time, and I loved it. And there's moments of it that I have burned into my brain. I still have the same copy that I bought off the newsstand 37 years ago at this point. And it's just one of those things that, like, I would have loved to talk about it because I love the Hulk, but there just wasn't, like, a place for it necessarily. And then when you came up with the Find Your Joy idea, I was like, oh, well, this is perfect. So now that's why we're here to do it. We're going to talk about just this comic. I just love it so much. It's just one of my favorite books.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I agree. And this was something that – I mean, like you, and I don't know if you've ever kind of talked about the Hulk really on one of your podcasts, but you've told me before that he's one of your favorite Marvel heroes.
Oh, yeah.
And mine too. I think he might be the first Marvel superhero I ever knew about or could recognize. Like, I knew the Superman, Batman, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, the Super Friends from the cartoon, and maybe Spider-Man and Captain America because I had the Secret Wars toys, but I didn't get them off the shelf. They were like secondhand. I think the Hulk was the first Marvel hero I ever experienced, and it was because my brother really liked it because he watched the show, the Bill Bixby show. And my brother, he only really liked two superheroes, the Hulk and Batman. Those are the only two he ever really cared about.
So, you must have loved that Treasury comic.
Yeah, the one that came out on my birthday, I just figured out.
Wow!
Yeah, I just found out that was released the day I was born. But yeah, I've always really, really dug the Hulk. But it wasn't until an episode of Mountain Comics when you and I think Michael Bailey were covering
– yes.
Was it like issue 300 or
– Hulk 301.
301. Yeah, so when you covered that one, like, I was listening to you just, and I realized there was like a whole stretch of Hulk comics that I really wasn't familiar with, and it was the Bill Mantlo and Buscema run. Like, I had read like most of the Peter David run. I really liked the Bruce Jones run. I might be in the minority, but like the Bruce Jones run from the early 2000s, I really liked. And I had gone back and read like the Essential Volumes with the early Stan Lee and Roy Thomas and Herb Trimpe stuff that I really liked. But there was like 100 issues that I really wasn't familiar with until I heard you guys review 301 on that episode, and I went back and I started. So I only read this issue about a year and a half ago. Like when I read it, I was like, this one is special. Like, because it, in a swan, I probably read like 20 Hulk issues in like just a couple of days because I was just binging on it. This one stood out. So yeah, this is a good one.
Yeah, it's really, really terrific. And you mentioned it's written by Bill Mantlo, drawn by Sal Buscema, letters by Jim Novak, colors by Bob Sharon, and the editor was Al Milgrom. It's called Encounter on Easter Island. After his battle against Glenn Talbot in Japan, the Hulk has been swimming in the Pacific Ocean trying to find his way back home. However, the man monster's limited capacity causes him to get lost for days. Eventually, he washes up on the shores of Easter Island. Exhausted from his travels, the Hulk falls asleep on the beach and reverts back to Bruce Banner. There he is found by the Absorbing Man, who has been hiding on this island in a paranoid state ever since his last battle against the Avengers. He recalls how he was forced to flee, changing into water to get away in the Hudson River. However, this spread him apart, and it took all his effort to pull his form back together, and it had a negative effect on his mind. Now afraid of them, Absorbing Man picks up Banner and carries him away. While in New York City, Rick Jones has reestablished the Teen Brigade and is using them to check the movements of the Hulk so he can help him. Having set up an apartment and hotel in Times Square, he is soon visited by Betty Ross, and he shows her how Teen Brigade has been tracking the Hulk's movements. Betty then informs Rick that her ex-husband, Glenn Talbot, was killed trying to destroy the Hulk. Betty breaks down when telling Rick this, realizing that while she was married to Talbot, she still loved Bruce, the man trapped inside the Hulk. Back on Easter Island, the Absorbing Man takes Banner down into a trench but loses his footing. The tumble wakes Bruce up, but he realizes he has no choice but to follow the Absorbing Man when he notes that he is mentally unhinged. Absorbing Man forces Bruce to go into a tight tunnel, which is partly underwater, to get to the Absorbing Man's hiding place inside a cave. Trapped with this lunatic, Banner notes the breadth of Absorbing Man's abilities. This gets him thinking about the people of Easter Island and how they were beset by invaders. Looking around, he finds that skeletons of those slaughtered thousands of years ago in the caves with them, and decides that he needs to get out. He waits until the Absorbing Man falls asleep and tries to sneak out through the tunnel. However, the tunnel has shifted while he was waiting and is now stuck. To make matters worse, the Absorbing Man has woken up and chasing after him. The panic triggers a transformation into the Hulk, who smashes free from his entombment. Seeking the transformation into the Hulk, the Absorbing Man recognizes the Beast from a previous battle. He then believes the Hulk is one of them and attacks. During the fight, the Absorbing Man decides to absorb the properties of the entire island and begins to grow in size. However, the Hulk knocks Absorbing Man into the ocean. The sudden impact with the water, after absorbing the properties of the molten core below the island, causes the Absorbing Man to turn into a man-shaped island. With his enemy defeated, the Hulk notes that the island is peaceful and decides he will stay there for now. Whoa, I love this story from beginning to end. Ryan, what did you, when you first read it, what are your thoughts on it?
Well, my first takeaway is about 70% of this issue is two shirtless guys both wearing purple pants.
They had a formula, and come on.
And that's what I like. And the other thing is just it's the head-to-head one-on-one. I mean, the Hulk, I said, is one of my favorite heroes. The Absorbing Man is also one of my favorite Marvel villains. I like his like general look. He just looks like a bruiser ex-con with this shaved head, but almost like kind of bullet-shaped the way it's drawn.
He looks a little Belvoir Conan.
Yeah, exactly. But like just his ability to just absorb any properties, it's like that's like a power that I just kind of like, whether it's the Sandman Absorbing Man or like the T-1000 from Terminator 2. I like the gimmick, so I like these two. But what really sets this issue apart is the way both Mantlo and Buscema, they really capture fear and dread in a couple of spots. Like when Banner has to crawl through the cave how confining it is and like the claustrophobia and the panels where you just, it's almost like a profile and you see the cave as it kind of like winds around and the rest is just black and he's in there so tight and the sweat just pouring out of him. And when he gets to the water, he's like, oh, wait, we can't go any further. I'm going to drown. And Absorbing Man is just pushing him down.
Yeah.
And then, when he sees the skeletons and he's just freaking out, he's like, I've got to get out of here. And when he tries to escape and when he's stuck, it's so good. And the panic on his face as Absorbing Man is coming after him, like grabbing him by the ankles. And everything is just getting tighter and tighter and tighter and closer. And then you turn to a full page splash of the Hulk bursting out of the rock. It's so good. It's just the pacing of it, the structure, and the way both writer and artist convey the fear leading up to this explosion and the fight it's just a well-told story.
Yeah, I mean, Bill Mantlo, I mean, he's one of those guys who I think like Roger Stern or David Michelinie, who were like really good, mm-hmm. really solid writers, but just were not superstars.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They weren't the John Byrne. They didn't have like Frank Miller. They didn't have, as far as I know, like passion projects that they were burning to do. Mm-hmm. They were journeymen, and that's not at all anything.
Yeah.
In no way is that a knock. Like these guys were consistent. And this story, it's a done in one, which would be a great name for a show. but I love it that it's like if you were just a kid looking to buy a comic book for the first time, and you would maybe, you know, you'd known the Hulk from the TV series, like your brother, mm-hmm. you would like, and you just bought this off the stands. This gives you everything you need. It explains the Hulk. It gives his powers. It has some great action sequences. It brings in a villain. It has a flashback to previous Marvel stories, mm-hmm. which as a kid I loved because, again, I was buying these things off the newsstand. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I didn't have a chance to access these older comics. So when they have the flashbacks of the Absorbing and fighting the Avengers, I'm like, ooh, what's that? What comic did that happen? And I love – it's always, you know, repeating Marvel history. But that sequence you're talking about where Banner is going through the tunnel, that – chilled me to the bone as a kid, and I never forgot it. And I'm not particularly claustrophobic. I don't like tight spaces, like I think like most people. But the idea of being like trapped in like a mine cave-in is terrifying to me. And then the idea that Mantlo plants here where Banner says, I'm managing to get through this tunnel because I'm slight of build, and the Absorbing Man is getting through it because he's absorbing the properties of the dirt. Mm-hmm. But if I Hulk out down here, the Hulk, even with all of his strength, might get lodged in this tunnel, and even with all the power of the Hulk, he might not be able to free himself because he won't have any leverage. Right. That had never occurred to me before, ever, that the Hulk could get stuck anywhere, and it just terrified me. And it's still, as I'm looking at the page now, and then again that final panel where he gets to water, and he's like, I can't go any further, and Absorbing Man's just pushing him. It's absolutely terrifying. And Mantlo to, like, I don't know, maybe other writers did this in other issues and Mantlo was doing his own version, but I wasn't aware of it. And to me, this is like, if you did this in a movie, this would be like Hitchcock level tension. Mm-hmm. I think this is so well done. So to me, it's like, this is just a perfect Hulk story. It's everything you would want out of 50 cents from an Incredible Hulk comic book.
Right. And it's hard to portray Banner or the Hulk in a position of vulnerability. It's really hard. Like, even Banner, when he's trapped with this crazy guy who you already know that the Observing Man is dangerous and he's fought the entire Avengers team, now put into mind that he's crazy. He's, like, lost his mind because he basically had to turn himself into water and float across the ocean in order to escape. So he's trapped on this island with this crazy guy, but you're like, okay, Banner, how much danger are you really in? You just turn into the Hulk and then you're going to be fine. He doesn't want to turn into the Hulk, but like, that's you don't really feel danger for him until he has to go in that cave, and then you just see the thought process and all that, like the logic that Bill Mantlo attached to this scene, and it works. And it's just like, that's a tough thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, he really found some interesting ideas. I love the whole concept that a absorbing man can just keep absorbing. Mm-hmm. Until he gets huge. Like, again, that's somebody who probably, I'm picturing Bill Mantlo, like, sitting in his office at Marvel or sitting in his office at home and just, like, thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Just like, well, what are the ramifications of a guy that can do this? Mm-hmm. And the idea that, yeah, it takes a lot of effort to hold your body together when you've turned into water. I always wondered about it when I was a kid and Zan and Jaina, you know, would transform and, like, Zan would spill some of himself out of a bucket. I'm like, well, isn't that like his foot or something? Like, how does that work? You know? So I love the idea the Absorbing Man is like, his brain is getting attacked because he's expanding at such a size and he can't handle it. Like, that's and that final shot that Buscema draws of just the giant island with the legs, mm-hmm. and the head at the end. I mean, it looks just so cool. It's so well done. That full page of the Hulk ripping through the ground is great. I love that the panel just before that where you see the ground start to buckle and he's just literally going to punch his way out of it. I mean, it's just so beautifully well done. And I mean, again, I think probably I repeat this on other shows. Nowadays, this would probably be like an arc,
yeah.
You know, the Absorbing Man Island arc. And now it's like, no, it's just this, it's just 19 pages or whatever it is. And you even get a little bit of history with the island. And then you have the flashbacks. I love the thing of Miss Marvel going, I've got him, Avengers. Eh? He's turned himself into water and he's dispersing. Why? And then he just floats. And you see his face looking kind of crazy as he's floating out into the Hudson. Like, it just, it, everything about it, it just, to me, it seems so effortless. And it's not, of course, these guys were working hard, but it's just so, I don't know, it just flows so perfectly. Oh, and we have the rounded corners for the flashback.
Yeah.
The comic book shortcut for flashback, rounded corners. I think it's a really, really solid, solid story. The splash page is great. The rear shot of the Hulk with his massive butt he's swimming away from us. And I mean, I love when the first shot we see of the Absorbing Man where he's draped in shadow behind Easter Island, we just see his eyes poking through. And it just, and then the whole idea of Hulk just chilling out at the end. He's just like, all right, I'm just gonna hang out here. Everybody's leave me alone. This is good. I'm just gonna hang out. I mean, obviously they could have never done this on the TV show because of all the special effects. Mm-hmm. But it's a shame, but it is a kind of TV show episode though. You can Bill Bixby washing up on an island and he runs into somebody bad, dispenses with him, and then he ends with the Hulk just sitting there and dun, 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 dun. You could just, perfect. It works.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like I said, like I would have tuned in just for the Hulk versus the Absorbing Man fight. Like, I love that matchup. But yeah, the fact that they found a compelling drama and the sense of fear and dread that they evoke, it just, I can't say enough good things about that. It's so well done. And like you said, the flashbacks to seeing the other Avengers fight Absorbing Man, like the shots where he's remembering fighting Thor and fighting Vision. And the fact that he can expand and he can keep absorbing things, but like not just holding himself physically together, but holding his consciousness together. And the fact that he turns into an island and it's like so big that he just loses it. And he's just like, he's found like a sort of contentment as just being this big island.
Yeah, I'm just going to move into like another form of being. So it's really, really fantastic. And generally, I don't cover ads when I talk about these books or my comics, but there's a couple ads here that I simply have to point out. First of all, there is a full page ad for Marvel Treasury Edition number 28, which is the second Superman Spider-Man team up, which is a great book. I love that. It's got a half page ad for the Star Wars radio show, which I really enjoyed as a kid. Mark Hamill's Luke Skywalker, Anthony Daniels as C-3PO. That was exciting too. There's a subscription ad. I guess you were probably a little too young, right, for subscribing to comics like that. That was kind of over by the time you would have done something.
I got in sort of towards the tail end of it. I did have subscriptions to G.I. Joe and X-Men at one point.
interesting.
Yeah. So
this ad has got the thing talking about that. What a deal! And you can subscribe to various titles like ROM, Savage She-Hulk, yep. Spider-Woman, Spidey Super Stories, The X-Men, What If, very exciting. And then, of course, the other ad that I have to mention is the half-page ad for the Joe Kubert School of Cartoon and Graphic Art, which would become significant not too long after this. So, yeah, this is just – I love this comic, and it's – as I mentioned, you know, I have all these other books that I love for their format size and different reasons of the circumstances of where I bought them. I have no idea where I bought this one. I'm assuming 7-Eleven, but I don't remember. But it's just one of those books that just – it's like, this is why I love comics. Mm-hmm. This is a unique form of storytelling, and it's just a great little adventure for 50 cents. So it's just a really wonderful comic book. I don't think it's been collected. I couldn't find anything in stock trades, at least, where it's ever been collected. So I think it's probably something that – I'm sure it's available on Comixology. And it's absolutely worth your time. I think it's just a terrific story.
Yeah, and it's on the Marvel Unlimited app, which is where I read it. I don't think it's been collected. I don't think the Essentials or Masterworks ever got anywhere close to this number. But, yeah, I would certainly like if they started getting into more of the Mantlo era and the Buscema era, because there's just some really good stuff in this. But
yeah. Really terrific. And it's the whole show is Find Your Joy. The network is Find Your Joy. This every time I read the story, I feel that. Mm-hmm. You know, just like, oh, this is what cemented comic books as a thing to the 10-year-old me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, this is everything I want to read. This is just so much fun, so unassuming. Just one little story and we're done and we're out. I think it's just terrific. So I don't know. I think that's going to do it for this look at Incredible Hulk number 261. Is there anything else you want to say about it?
No. I mean, just it opens up with a big shot of Hulk butt, which you can't go wrong with.
I always love Hulk butt. Sure, yeah.
And really, seriously, like that's got to be like the easiest cosplay is just bare-chested purple pants.
I love that Hulk doll I had as a kid, the Mego Hulk doll. I love the hell out of that thing. It was fantastic. So, well, anyway, that's going to do it for this episode of Find Your Joy. Ryan, thank you for joining me. I really appreciate it. This is, of course, originally for everybody, Shag and I were supposed to do Digest Cast this week. But unfortunately, he is, I think he's got power back now, but he didn't have power at the time, so we had to move the show. We'll be doing it later on. He did issue a planetary warning, avoid Florida at all costs, but I think he's got his power back. But so we're filling in and doing a Find Your Joy. And so originally it was just going to be me, and I always feel awkward about that. So, Ryan, I appreciate you coming in to do this with me.
Well, I'm glad that you offered.
Absolutely. So we said Find Your Joy. It's part of the FW Presents, and I think a bunch of us are going to be doing these shows. Everybody jumped on, as you mentioned, at the top of the show. Everybody jumped on this idea. So if you've been enjoying the Fantastic Four episode and this episode, there's going to be more to come on the FW Presents thread. So that is going to do it. Of course, you can leave comments on our website, which is fireandwaterpodcast.com, and let us know how you find your joy, what comics or whatever. Again, it doesn't have to be comics. It can be music or movies or TV or game or whatever it is that as Ryan talked about. Anything that you enjoy, let us know. And let us know what you thought of this episode. So I guess that's going to do it. Do we have a sign-off for Find Your Joy? I don't think you signed off for your first episode with anything, right?
I didn't. I wasn't sure that it was going to be a series, so I didn't even think about that. I really got to work on branding more.
Yeah, we do. We don't have any sign-off. So anyway, Find Your Joy, and we will see you later. Bye.